On Mondays, we read from your emails. Our program on suicide and its effects on family and friends raised a lot of questions we didn't have time to get to, so we've invited Dr. Herbert Hendon to return. Dr. Hendon is medical director of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and a professor of psychiatry at New York Medical College, and thanks very much for joining us again.
Glad to be here.
Our first email is from Jessica in Minnesota. I have a sister-in-law that has threatened suicide on a number of occasions, she writes, and has sought minimal mental health assistance. It's beginning to become a case of the boy who cried wolf with other family members. Is there anything we can do?
You have to take it seriously, even though she doesn't respond as though she wants help and seems to be wanting more to communicate that she's unhappy and presumably wants to have some effect on the family by doing that. But people who threaten it, even if they threaten it for years without doing it, are at much higher risk than those who don't. And you need to try to get her to seek that help in a gentle, supportive way, indicating that she wouldn't be saying this if she weren't very unhappy, and yet she isn't doing anything about getting the help she needs. And you try to encourage her to do that in a way that leaves lines of communication, and sometimes it takes several months, and somebody eventually does it. But I think the fact that the person calling in is concerned is something that has to be respected, and she has reason to be concerned, and it shouldn't be dismissed as a simply somebody who cried wolf that you don't have to take seriously, although there's certainly a danger of people doing that.
Brett Fox wrote in to ask if there's a genetic connection with suicide or just a genetic link in depression, which is a major contributor to suicide.
Yes, he is right in the implication. There is a genetic link that seems specific to suicide independent of depression. It's much more apt to run in families that are depressed. You'll see families where there's depression for generations, and the original work on this was done with the Amish, where they could trace back for generations the family history. There were many families that had depression running through the family, but a much smaller number where the depression was accompanied by suicide from generation to generation. And that was the trigger for other research that indicates that even apart from depression and other mental illness, there is some tendency for suicide to run in families, and there seems to be a genetic factor in it that's apart from the linkage to depression.
We had a caller last week who did not get on the air, but we still want to ask his question. He brought up a scenario of a parent who committed suicide and left an infant behind. When is the right time to tell that child the reason for his or her parent's death?
The right time is as soon as the child is old enough to understand. You can't make a rule because people are different, but I would imagine 8 or 9 is the time. And if you don't do that, I think you ask for some trouble. Then you're not doing it for the child's sake. You're doing it because you're uncomfortable. Mm. And by the time you tell the child has usually heard it elsewhere and has been tense, feeling that somehow you're uncomfortable with their knowing, so they pretend not to know. Mm. I've run into that much more often than I've never seen any situation where just letting the child know had a harmful effect or that it was done too early.
And finally, this email from Martin Siegel. My wife died by suicide early this year, he wrote. I would like the audience to know how much help I receive from a local suicide survivor support group, which is a group not of professionals, but of others who have survived the death of a family member. Most people do not know what to say, and talking with others who've been through similar experiences is critically important in being able to move forward. Any reaction to that?
It's absolutely true. In fact, our foundation keeps on its website a list of all the survivor support groups throughout the country because we get calls all the time from people who live in parts of the country where there may not be one within 30, 40 miles or more. So we keep a directory of it, and we find that for a lot of people that's very beneficial.
Dr. Hendon, thanks very much for being with us today.
Not at all. Thank you.
If you have questions you feel have not been addressed, comments, or a correction to make, we want to hear from you. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Please be sure to include the topic of the program in the subject line. Tell us where you're writing from, and if necessary, give us guidance on how to pronounce your name.